It's that River of God and Woo! You. Yes. All right. We're excited about that River of God. We've been seeing it all day, haven't we, Connie?
Yep.
You are listening to Living the Good Life, all about that River of Anointing. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are global, and we are live with you right now. With me in the studio is Connie Farmer.
We're global and we're mobile.
Oh my. Listen to her. We're global and we're mobile. How about that? Yes, we are mobile. We're on the go all the time, it seems like. I mean, so much going on all the time. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are thrilled to be with you today. We're going to have a great show, 2 hours with great music. And all right. And just a great time sharing. We're going to have some other guests that are going to join us in a little while. We'll tell you later who they are.
Surprise.
Surprise. Yes. We love surprises, don't we? Mm-hmm. And we're just so excited to be here. You know, Connie, I never, ever get tired of being on this radio show. And you have put here at the top of our little schedule today. This is broadcast number what?
163.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we have started our fourth year on the radio on this station. And this station is a fabulous station because it is not just here in the Tampa Bay area. It is Dade City, Zephyr Hills. Those are other stations involved with this. It is now Arkansas, Mississippi. Those are just the radio stations. And then it is global on the internet. What a wonderful thing that internet is that Al Gore invented a long time ago, right? So anyway, it is fantastic. We love having that ability because we have friends that listen in Arkansas, in Alabama, in Georgia, in Texas, in Indiana, in Ohio, all kinds of different places. Do we not? Georgia, did I say Georgia?
Georgia, Indiana.
Wow. Just all kinds of people listening from all kinds of places. So we are so glad you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. We want to hear from you as we go through this show if you want to. Sometimes we get a lot of emails. Sometimes we don't get any at all. You know, I guess it just depends on if anybody's listening. I don't know. No, we just welcome you if you want to. Send an email. How do they find us? Pastor.
Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. IES.
Yes.
Ministries.
Ministries. Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. You can send us an email. And they could ask questions, couldn't they, Connie, if they want
no.
to? As we're No? Mm-hmm. We're not going to let them
not
ask
today.
Questions? Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
She's just in one of those little moods of hers. Anyway, they can ask questions. They can comment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was praying this morning very, Sweet. Very early. I woke up early, and I was thinking about the show. As I began to pray for it, God said that we need to stress more that if people have prayer requests, they need to send them in during the show and we will pray live sure. on the show for them. If you don't want to say your name, just call yourself anonymous or whatever you want to call
Joe.
Yourself. Yeah, Joe. That's a nice name. So just, you know, feel free during the show. You can send the prayer request directly to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That way it comes up on the screen right in front of Connie here. Or during the week, you can send those requests to
prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. But you know, if they send it to prayers right now,
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
We'll still get it.
That's right.
I'll get it. You'll get it, plus the prayer.
That's exactly right. So they don't even have to send the request to pastor. It can go just prayers, and it'll come through.
Right
to the computer. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're excited about that. And if you have a need today, let's say that you are sick right now as you tune in to this, and you're just not feeling good. Our engineer Bill in there is gagging right now.
His ears are lowered. That's what...
Yeah, he got a haircut.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like the hippie that he always did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's so cute. Isn't he cute?
He is.
I know. Anyway, so if you want to send a prayer request during the show, we will take time to pray for you. We promise you that.
We'll pray for you, Bill.
And we'll pray for Bill. We always pray for Bill. And that, I mean, you know, after all, we should. There's a lot going on at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida.
It's been some week.
This has been a wild week. We'll talk about it more later. But, Connie, if people want to get involved with this global ministry, how do they do it? And why would they do it? What kind of involvement could they have?
They could have involvement from one end to the spectrum to the other. They could pray for us, mm-hmm. and, you know, become part of the prayer team ministry.
Right.
Just send an email to prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries and say, I want to be on the prayer team.
Mm-hmm.
Support us in prayer. Support us financially. Support us with gifts. As far as, like, for example, in the next few weeks, we're going to be moving into new digs.
Exactly.
So, and it's pretty bare, and it's brand new. And so we have a lot of work to do to get it to where we would want it to be to present. But we will start meeting there on June 6th.
2 weeks from today.
Yes.
Big deal, isn't it? Yes.
Yes, it's a big deal. So we want to have it at least halfway, partway, some way.
A little bit.
Ready,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, presentable, but not ready for...
Yeah.
You know, like showing it off or anything.
Yeah,
but
it won't be quite ready for that.
Not that we're going to show it off, but I'm not saying these words right. But
doing fine.
We want, if you have spare arms that can paint.
Spare arms. How many arms do you have?
Spare hours to paint.
Right.
If you want to come and help lay carpet, if you have carpet pieces or pieces that come together as a big carpet. Because it's 1,500 square feet. If you know how to put up a wall, if you know how to put in plumbing, if you know all those kinds of things, we're going to, because it's plain
and brand new.
It's brand new walls and floor and ceiling and a couple water fountains and one bathroom. So, and the rest of it, we're responsible for making it happen. So, you know, we need to divide it up a little bit with some wall, at least a couple petitions walls so that we can have some counseling spaces. And we've got to maybe make a little space where we can have a kitchen because we have all those
beautiful appliances.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, isn't it? God's been doing all kinds of things, and we're going to talk more about that. Just the suddenly way that God has moved in our ministry.
Suddenly in the last few days.
In the last few days. How exciting is all that? So we'll talk more about that. Connie, you put one of my favorite songs of all time on the show today because we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Bob Carlyle has written a song. I don't know if he wrote it or if he just performed it.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'll
but
look that up.
Living Water. Listen, mm-hmm. and then don't go anywhere. Call a friend and stay with us on Living the Good Life.
I feel your touch. I can feel your heart as I'm lying. Gently say, come to me. I long for your love like the earth longs for the rainfall. I'm weary, Lord, I wander.
God, I love that song.
It's been a long time.
Oh, we haven't used that one for a while.
And I don't even know what made me...
Oh, Connie, I love that. We got to use that one more often. Yeah. Living Water. Dear ones, we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. And join me in John chapter 7, verse 37. 7:37. Sounds like an airplane. John 7:37. Go there with me. And these are the words of Jesus. I guess they're pretty important. On the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts," and that's the whole thing right there, if you thirst. I don't know about you, Connie, but after a service we had this morning, I tell you what, our people are thirsting after God. They are thirsting after God. You're one of them. And me too. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. This is Jesus talking, and drink. Rivers of living water. You know, that's what our theme song for this show talks about, the rivers of living water. Jesus said in the song we just did, Living Water, and in our theme song, Jesus said, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. Just as the scripture said, he's talking about the Spirit of God, whom those who believed in him were about to receive. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And this was a little time before the day of Pentecost, which we're going to talk about today. Jesus prophesied in advance, Connie, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon people, right? Okay, so here he's talking about the rivers of living water. Now, the nature of a stream of water, I'm thinking of North Carolina. I haven't been there much, but I've been there a couple times on vacation. And there seems to be a lot of those streams, you know, that come around by the side of the road and there's water flowing.
Creeks.
You're from Ohio. We called them creeks in Indiana, too.
Creeks.
All right. Well, whatever they are, they flow, do they not?
Yeah.
They don't sit stagnant.
No.
What happens if they sit stagnant? Because I'm a realtor right now. We've got a lot of short sales going on. I've got several listings that have pools.
Look at some of these green pools.
And let me tell you, I've got these pools that have to be turned from green to clean, you know, and you do that by, you know, doing a lot to them, you know, and stirring them up. And Michelle, that's her job, you know. And here we see when we are stagnant in God, we get all murky and yuck, you know, when we are just not moving forward in God, when we are just like, I'm saved. It's no big deal. Yeah. I call that fire insurance, Connie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that just have that much of God, just enough to barely get into heaven.
Yeah. I'm not sure why that. They're just too busy with other things, I guess.
I think that's it. I think that's what Jesus talked about, the parable of the sower. Some will hear the word and it'll just like fall on the wayside and just like it doesn't really grow in them. Now, are those people really saved? That's not for me to figure out. But
I think that, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, the ones with fire insurance, when things, catastrophic things happen in their lives.
Yes.
That's when they start searching.
Yes.
That's when they want more. Because they want more.
Right.
So they feel like they need to give more.
I think you're right about that. In fact, unfortunately, sadly, a lot of times people don't really seek more of God till their back's up against the wall. Till they're really hurting. My daughter's going through an awful lot right now, and I wrote that in a letter to her this week. You know, that a lot of times it's till our back's up against the wall that we really seek God.
Well, you know, and I kind of did that because I was in church. I grew up in church and in and out, and, you know, different things made me step away or move away. But I made a deal with God. I had a really good friend who had a daughter that was very sick.
Okay.
And I made a deal with God one time, if he'd just let her live.
Right.
At least for a while, that I would come back to church.
Really?
And she got better.
Okay.
And there was no way that I wasn't going to keep up my end.
You had to keep up your end of the bargain?
Yeah. And so, but then after that, you have to do something until you want to do it. Then
that's right.
You don't have to anymore.
Exactly.
So, you know, then it becomes second nature and, you know, it's just part of who I am,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, you know, then I found, it took a while, but then I found Beacon.
Yes.
You know, and that whole, I mean, that just totally turned my whole life around.
Why do you say that? And it's not just because it's our ministry, which we are proud of it, of course, and love what God is doing here, but it's a basic principle. What was it you found?
Well, I found what I was looking for.
Okay.
And I had seen glimpses of it along the way in the previous 5 or 6 years. I wanted a church that taught, and I wanted a church that was real, and I wanted a church that worshiped.
Yes.
And I wanted a church that believed in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And taught in the about the Holy Spirit instead of just teaching that you had to be saved.
Right.
You know, and
which
how,
is true. You got to be saved. But
and if you do these, you know, I mean, I sat in church and listened to, you know, if you want, you need to be saved, and if you do this, you're going to go to hell. You know, so it was like
judgment and and law and all that.
Yeah. And I knew, I didn't know, but I felt, I honestly, in my belief, I felt like God was not that kind of God.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think things, doctrines and things have changed through the years. Churches have changed through the years. And part of it is, I think, church growth and,
yes.
and doing what people need and people's needs throughout the years in the last 40, 50 years
mm-hmm.
has changed from
right.
being fearful of God.
Right.
And, you know, God is going to get you if you don't do these
right.
things.
You're
and
right
you're being
about
threatened
that.
By
That's
God.
Good insight.
People are not threatened by anything
right.
anymore. It's like, oh yeah, bring it on.
Uh-huh.
You know, that, and that's the attitude now,
right.
especially in teenagers and
right.
in young adults now. I'm not afraid. Bring it on.
Right. That's a good point.
You know, and so, but I think over the years, things have kind of come around where people are beginning to realize, and actually, if you read the Bible, which is not new in the last 50 years.
Right.
The Bible teaches that God is love.
Absolutely.
And that he cares about us and he cares about every little speck about us.
Absolutely.
You know, every little thing in our lives he wants a part of. And, you know, and then I can go into the God-shaped hole and all that stuff. But, you know.
That's true.
That's,
that
know.
We all have a place. Explain
right.
that. Some
right.
people may not know what
well,
you mean by that.
You know, I believe that God created us because he wanted us to have a relationship with him.
Amen.
And
he loves fellowship with us, doesn't
yeah.
he? Talking
I mean, that's
to
why
us.
If you read in Genesis, and I can't quote scripture, but my gist is that when he created Adam and Eve, he wanted to have
exactly
somebody
right.
to communicate
yes.
with and have a relationship with.
Right.
It's about relationships.
Yes,
period.
It is.
And they screwed up, just like we screw up every day. They screwed up.
Right.
And, you know, and after that, you know, we see Moses and we see Abraham and, you know, all these things and all these people
right.
are still struggling, trying to get into that right relationship with God. And so finally he says he's going to send Jesus.
Right.
Because Jesus will teach us who he really
Amen.
Is, what he's really about. And then we can have a relationship with him and understand God all in one.
Amen.
And I think that God, who created our dynamic, miraculous human body.
Yes.
We were talking the other day, Patricia and I were talking the other day, and I was talking about how babies don't breathe in
right.
utero.
Right.
Their heart
Isn't
beats.
Isn't that amazing?
And how.
You're a respiratory therapist at the hospital for babies, like NICU babies,
so,
you know?
You know, we were just talking about it, and if you really think about all the meticulous pieces
yes.
of our body and how they work and how they try to keep things going right.
Right.
It's nothing short
it's
of a miracle.
Amazing.
It's a miracle.
It's amazing.
And so I'm kind of losing track of where I was going. But anyway, I think God put this place in our hearts
yes.
that we want him. We want to have a little relationship with him, not a little, but we want to have a relationship
mm-hmm.
and there's that spot in our hearts that nobody else can fill, no matter who, no matter
right.
you know, whether it's trying to find somebody mm-hmm. who's gonna make you feel loved.
Right.
There is nobody who can give you the feeling that God can give
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And, you know, so there's that spot, that hole in your heart that only God can fill. And once you come to realize that and you fill it, the rest is just
falls together, doesn't
yeah.
it? Because when you see your need and know that God can fill that, fill you up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. And we didn't plan any of that.
No.
And some of you are going, Connie talked a real long time right now just by herself.
Okay, I don't have to talk now.
No, but we are. I'm proud of you. But you know what? I just thought, oh, my, that's interesting. Because you came up for prayer today.
Yeah.
And you're just it's spilling out of you like rivers of living water just flowing out of you that we just sang, you know?
Yeah.
Filled up with God.
A lot of things happened this week.
Yeah.
And I watched a show where an individual confessed that she was something that she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or that she had been hiding from her fans.
Okay.
And, you know, well, I mean, I might as well just say it was Shelley Wright. She's
okay.
a country music star, and
yeah.
she came out that she was gay.
Okay.
And Oprah said... with her, and she was on Oprah's
really?
Show and just talked about it. And when I watched her, and she said, you know, churches teach these people that they're damaged goods.
Right.
And, you know, John 3:16 says whosoever.
Whosoever. Absolutely.
It doesn't say except.
Right.
And, you know, I just think that I just feel like, you know, we serve a community that...
Yes.
People won't let in their churches.
Right.
And we have an obligation.
Because we're a ministry that says we don't care whether you're green, purple, black, striped, gay, straight. We really don't care about any of that. It
right.
is, do you want to come and learn the word? Do you want to come and serve God with us? You know, and nationality, mm-hmm. none of that. None of that matters. And I find that very interesting you're talking about that because... Going back to the verses we just talked about in John 7, I was going to move on to another one, but I think we need to go back to John 7 because these are Jesus' words. And he says, John 7:37, I'm going to read it again. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
Anyone.
Anyone. He does not say white, black, green, striped, gay, straight, anything else. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Anyone. Okay. I mean, if he wanted to qualify that and eliminate gay people, let's say, he'd do it right there.
Well, he would have preached on it.
He would have preached on it, and he never said one thing about that.
No.
But he says, rivers of living water. Now, this is what happens when you thirst. Okay, this is the criteria. When you thirst, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone, there it is again, anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says. And then it goes on and explains it. He said this in regard to the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were about to receive. The disciples did not even have the Holy Spirit at this point. He had not descended on them, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The Spirit, well, that's the next verse, or next sentence. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The coming of the Holy Spirit is a separate event. Now, we believe, we're Trinitarian at Beacon of Hope, which means we believe in the Trinity. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet it's all God. And it's like ice and water, liquid water and steam. Every bit of that is still molecules of H2O, two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every part of ice, steam, and running water is all the same molecularly.
Just like DNA.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's the same, okay? And so in God, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The DNA is still the same. Okay, it's
God.
All the same. It's God, the deity, okay? Now, God sent his Son, Jesus, to this earth, and that's who's talking there in John 7. And he is explaining, and he's walking among us. And actually, it says in John 1, let's go back there a minute, in John 1, that Jesus was coming to be the God revealer. Now, you know, if I had my pad of paper right here in front of me,
I
would spell it right. Yes. God revealer. All right. That is who Jesus was, to reveal God to us. I misspelled it this morning, Bill. I mean, I really messed it up.
Is that like magicians, the masked magician,
nice
secrets revealed, but God revealed?
God revealed. Yeah. There you go. Well, God revealed.
Fox should have a program about that. God revealed.
God revealed. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Bill. So anyway, so in John chapter 1, we see Jesus coming down to the river where John the Baptist, his first cousin, by the way, was baptizing people for the forgiveness of sin. And they were coming down, and he was saying, repent, repent. And by the way, guys, you can't get saved if you don't repent. Right. If you don't see your need for a Savior, then I would say that you probably
won't know what a Savior is.
No, if you don't see that you need, you know, that none of us, the Bible says in Romans 3, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've got to recognize our need for a Savior. We've got to understand that, you know, we don't have it all together without a Savior. We got to have that. And so here, this is what John the Baptist was preaching, that people needed to repent. They need to be washed clean from their sin. And so Jesus, his cousin, starts walking toward him. And as this happens, Jesus is coming down to be water baptized by John. And John is like, oh my, because God had already said to him before this happened that the Messiah was coming to be baptized. Now, I don't know if he knew it was going to be his cousin or not. I don't know, because he acts a little surprised.
But you said today that, and, you know, we read at Christmas time, that he leaped in his mother's
womb. The Baptist did, yes, he did, in Elizabeth's womb. So he probably knew. Because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit already. So John says, here comes Jesus. And then at the same time, some of you have seen license plates that have a dove that's descending. I used to own a Christian bookstore, and we had those license plates for sale, and it was a dove on a license plate, you know, and I looked at one that pulled up one day at the store, and I realized they had the dove going up, and I said, oops, it's supposed to be down. The dove's coming down. It's the descending Holy Spirit on people, you know, so if you have a license plate where your dove's going up, it needs to go down. Anyway, okay, so just a fact, yeah. Now, John the Baptist says here in John 1, about verse 33. Do you have your NIV there, Connie?
Sure do.
Okay, what's it say there? What does John say? Actually, you can start with verse 32 if you want. John 1, 32. And read 31, 32, or 32, 33, and 34.
Mm-hmm. 32.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. Then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Mm-hmm. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.
Wow. He's the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism in water is simply an act. It's an outward sign of an inward change.
Right.
Any of us can baptize people in water. You don't even have to be a pastor to do that. You know, it's a physical act where somebody comes to you, and Connie, when you and I have baptized many, many people out here in the Gulf of Mexico, and when we do, we say to them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you received him into your heart by faith? Have you asked him to forgive you for anything and everything you've ever done that was not pleasing to him? And when they give the answer yes to all that, then we say, what we're doing now is an outward sign to you and to others that you've made a decision for Christ, that you have made this decision. And so then that's us doing it. We take them down into the waters of baptism. We lower them down. try not to drop them and hope they can swim. And but we I don't mean to be light of it, except we've had some funny things happen. But anyway, that's a show, a story for another day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we lower them down in the water of baptism, and we bring them up. And as we bring them up, we say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the remission of your sins." And it's an outward sign of an inward change. We can all, anybody can baptize somebody in water. Now, this is a different thing. This is step two, if you will. Step one is salvation. Step two is saying, "Okay, God, I want you to fill me up with you, and I want you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit." And John the Baptist says here, "This one coming towards me is Jesus, the Messiah, who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, I love to make this distinction, and I hope everybody out there understands it. When you get saved, you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit.
But it could happen at the same time.
It could. Usually it doesn't, because people a lot of times don't understand the difference. Right. So, but generally speaking, when you get saved, you are saved. And if you die tonight, you'd go to heaven. That's mm-hmm. cool.
Fire insurance.
Fire, yeah. But, you know, God wants us to have more, Connie, more of him, you know? He wants us to be filled up with him. Do you remember when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you want to share it? While she's collecting herself, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about it.
No, what do you want to know? I'm not sure. What
made your decision to decide that that's what you wanted?
I just wanted more.
You just wanted more. There you go. Simple answer.
Yeah.
Just wanted all God had for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what baptism in the Holy Spirit is all about. It is saying, "God, okay, I want more." Mm-hmm. You know, I like to liken it to Jesus is always talking about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth. And if we go to John 14, if you have your Bible, we're still in John, but run over there with me to verse 25 of John 14. These are Jesus' words again. And he says this, "I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you." That's cool. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is John 14, 25, I'm sorry. And he says this, "The friend, the Holy Spirit." Okay, first of all, if you take notes out there, write down Holy Spirit and write friend. He's your friend, okay? "The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you." Now, this is another attribute of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of what God teaches us. Okay? He says, "I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you're used to being left, feeling abandoned or bereft. So don't be upset and don't be distraught." And what in the NIV, can you read 25 through 27 in the NIV? I love the way it says that.
"All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid."
Wow. What is he saying? Jesus has been telling them and warning them during the 3 years that these disciples have been walking with him. He's been saying, "I'm not always going to be with you, guys. I'm here for a short time, here to get some work done." And what Jesus is saying to them is, "You know what? I'm getting ready to leave, but it's not a bad thing for you. It's a good thing. Don't get all upset. Don't get all distraught. Don't get all like worried." You know, I've heard people before say, "I wish I was walking when Jesus walked." I don't know. I think we live in a wonderful time. Not only do we, you know, get to wear more comfortable clothes than they wore, but we are living in a time where we have that ability to have the Holy Spirit within us. not just know about him. You know, and in the Old Testament of your Bible, we see many prophets that had the Holy Spirit come upon them for a period of time. And that's when they would prophesy, or that's when they would do exploits for God, like Elijah, Elisha, all the miracles that were done, David. And you see all through the Old Testament times where the Holy Spirit came on Gideon. There's so many of them, you know, and all these things, Deborah, so many of them that God came upon them and they did wonderful things. But you don't see in the Old Testament the average person having the Holy Spirit within him, because he did not come to this planet until the day of Pentecost. He didn't arrive until the day of Pentecost. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church, and a lot of you probably did too, where it wasn't taught that you could have the Holy Spirit within you. Now, it was taught you could have Jesus in your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really referring to being saved and Jesus come into my heart.
The plastic Jesus.
Yeah. Comes and hits you. But, you know, I don't think there was much teaching, at least when I grew up, that Jesus wanted to... I mean, the Holy Spirit was not taught. I can tell you that in the church I grew up in. Holy Spirit was not taught.
I think I remember hearing about it. I don't know that I really understood it, but I remember it being taught because I went to, it was first Christian church, and then we also went to Christian Missionary Alliance.
Oh, okay. So that, yeah.
That was more of a spirit.
More of a spirit-filled place. Mm-hmm. Okay. And some of you out there may have heard that term, spirit-filled, full gospel. That's talking about mm-hmm. ministries, churches that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that there is a second work, what we call a second work of grace. First work being salvation, second work being the Holy Spirit baptism. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I used to watch religiously.
Religiously, all right. Good for you.
Rex Humbard.
Yes. And yeah. I did too, Rex and Amy, years ago. And you were from Ohio, so that's mm-hmm. where they were from. Mm-hmm. And they would pray over people to receive the Holy Spirit, which is what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Now, the Holy Spirit, which is the third part of the Trinity, does not go where he's not invited. I've heard people say the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Okay. God will not violate your free will. Let's say that you are digging your heels in the sand and you're going, I don't want to know anything about that Holy Spirit stuff. I just don't want to deal with that. I mean, I'm okay. I'm saved. If I die, I'm going to heaven. That's all I want to know. You know that there's going to be a lot of people in heaven like that. But there's going to also be a whole lot of people, Connie, that have said, I want all you have for me, God. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Where you say, okay, that's not enough, God. Just salvation. There's some churches and a lot of churches across the United States where all they teach every Sunday is getting saved. And a lot of those people have been saved, you know, for years.
Several times.
Several times. Right. But it's all about another work. Let's go to the book of Joel.
It's like another dimension.
Right.
You know, it's more level.
It is. It's the next layer.
Layer.
Before we get to this song, I want to play this song in a minute. But before we get to this song, let's go to the book of Joel in the Old Testament. And if you have a note that you can, or something you can write down, Joel chapter 2. And this was a prophecy that was given through the prophet Joel back in, many hundreds of years before Jesus came to this earth. It is Joel chapter 2, starting with verse 28. And that's just the beginning. This is what God is saying. I will pour out my spirit. That's what we're talking about right now. On every kind of people, it says in the message. What's it say for you in 28 there? She's in the NIV.
28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people.
All people. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the message, it says every kind of people. Okay. Your sons will prophesy. Also your daughters. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my spirit on the servants, men and women both. I'll set wonders in the sky above. And on down, whoever calls, help God gets help. In fact, read that in, I'm in verse 32, Connie, I think, where it says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that right? Yes. Verses 30, 32, 30, 31, 32, something like that.
32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So if you're out there right now and you feel like you are damaged goods, like Connie was talking about earlier, if you feel like God cannot love you because you've done this, 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 and this, or you feel that you are just, you're condemned to hell, you are not.
It's wrong.
Because that's wrong. The word says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're going to have some great discussion with our two guests who are going to call in a minute during this song. This song is Holy Spirit, Come Fill This Place by C.C. Winans. And if you don't get totally blessed, and I mean your socks come flying off of you, I tell you, this song's going to help you. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. With us right now as that song finishes up. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. And that's what we're saying. God, come and fill us to overflowing. I cannot listen to that song with just out, just getting just filled up. I mean, just caught up.
Wild.
Connie, this morning at Beacon of Hope, we gave the invitation that anybody who wanted to come and be filled up with God and baptize the Holy Spirit to get up there, and we had several, and we had a mighty move of God's Spirit today. Deb and Alice, are you with us on Skype?
We're here.
Wow, that's interesting. Kind of a little echo thing, but that's cool.
I think it was the two of them.
Oh, it must have been both of them.
One and two.
Yeah, one and two right there.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
We're great. We're melting in Houston.
Well, we're melting here, too. Man,
we love it. Yeah.
But your humidity's better than ours. Your humidity's only 43%. Ours is in the 60s.
Ah, okay.
Are you sure?
Really? All right.
Well, I looked before I got online.
Oh, well, okay. I when I left the house, I was only there 30 minutes between service and coming to radio, but Houston was beating Tampa Bay Rays 4-2 when I left. I hope. Go Strohs. I don't know what's happened now. We just got to hope for the best because I'm not there to cheer them on. But Alice and Deb, Holy Spirit, fill this place.
Yeah.
Whoa. I know you two are in tune with this. Are you not?
Yes, we are.
We're right there with you.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that the four of us here should really talk about why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, because I think there's probably a lot of people out there listening going, hey, I'm saved. That's all. I don't want to talk about anything else. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's gotten some bad press through the years. People think that Holy Spirit-filled people are a little crazy. Deb and Alice, you are crazy,
yes.
So maybe they are right about this.
That's what they saw.
We are peculiar people.
You are peculiar people. And you're just like gung-ho God, are you not?
Yeah, I'm a Jesus freak, and I love it.
Yes. And do you remember back a time before you were filled with the Holy Spirit, what you were like?
Yes. In fact, my father came to visit this weekend, and he had a wonderful two-hour conversation on my front porch Friday night.
Cool.
And I had never sat down and talked with my father about how I felt about my church upbringing and where I am now and how I got there. And I actually had an opportunity to explain to him what it was like for me when I truly felt that I was saved.
Right.
And what it was like for me when I received the Holy Ghost. And my father, being brought up in a very straight-laced liturgical Methodist church.
Okay.
I was a little afraid that I was going to freak him out. But you know what? he realized that that there were some mistakes that he made in bringing us up in church and some things that he did not do as far as keeping us in the Bible and bringing bringing God's word to us as children.
Right.
And he admitted that to me, and that was awesome. But telling him that I had, as Connie loves to talk about, the hole in your heart.
Right.
You know, telling him that something was missing, that there was a hole
in
your heart. Yes, yes. That church, that one right church that was a Bible teaching church and that got me into God's word. You know, I'd heard people talk about being fed.
Yes.
And I didn't know what that meant until I got to a Bible teaching church and got the word of God inside me.
Amen.
And it filled that hunger. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Ghost. It's not the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, I was saved. And several months later, you know, it was more than months. It was probably about a year and a half, 2 years before I became filled with the Holy Ghost. That is such an awesome feeling. And for anybody that wants to know what it's like, for me, it's like being on a roller coaster and coming up to that double.
The drop.
Stomach. You know, it's awesome. And my life has changed so much since then.
Praise God. Praise God. Connie, can you relate to that, the difference?
Yeah. I you know, something just came to me as you were talking, Deb. I think we need to just kind of quantify things. I think it's, you know, if somebody has been saved and they have been searching and want to know the Holy Spirit and all that, I don't think we should put a timeline.
Right.
I'm just time constraints necessarily on people.
Right.
Because everything happens in your time. You know, and yes, some of those fire insurance people may take a catastrophic event, unfortunately.
Right.
But other people, you know, just kind of come along as, you know, and it's up to us. Just like you said, the Holy Spirit is a gentle person, gentleman, and won't push himself
on. Won't push, no.
So, it's not like, I kind of get the feeling, it's not like something spooky or something.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing. You know, we call it the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But it's not like it's something that is
it shouldn't
weird.
Be mysterious or
it's
weird.
It's not mysterious.
No.
It's not weird. It's not something that takes over your life, and you're not going to have to go to Africa or somewhere as a missionary, unless that's something you want to do, because you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's like a...
It's a surrender, you know, it is, yeah. It's God, fill me up, give me more of you, more of you. Thank you for sharing that. Alice, are you on?
I'm here.
Tell us what happened to you and why you received the Holy Spirit, and maybe, I think sharing our personal experiences helps our audience understand that we're just normal, ordinary people that were saved, and something began to change in us, except you grew up Pentecostal, did you not?
Actually, I grew up Assembly of God.
Okay, that's what I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I you know, I was saved as a young child, about 7 years old.
Okay.
Is when I was saved. And I was taught about the Holy Spirit. I didn't really understand it. You know, I grew up in a church where people spoke in tongues,
okay,
and, you know, raised their hands to worship. And I raised my hands more because that's what everyone else did.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was a teenager that I started realizing that there was more to it than what I had just being saved and
right,
not being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I, you know, God had to put that desire in my heart,
yes,
to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And once I got that desire and I went up for prayer to receive the Holy Spirit and I received the Holy Spirit, it was like a pipeline opened up. Between me and God.
Amen.
And, you know, I had, yeah, you know, we've all made bad decisions in our lives. And I can say that, you know, once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that I was able to hear God's direction.
Yes.
Not saying I heard his voice, okay?
Right.
But I'm saying that when I read God's word, it would speak to me and it would,
That's huge.
Mean something to me.
Yeah.
More than just reading a story. It actually came alive to me and became real and became something that I could use in my daily life.
And that is one of the huge benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because so many people say to me, because I've pastored for so long, I've heard people say, I don't understand the Bible. And you know, I teach out the Message Bible a lot because I want people to hear it in their everyday language. But even then, I've heard people say, I don't get it. I don't want to read it. I don't understand it. What does it say? And Alice, you just said one of the huge reasons to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is, you want to say it again?
The word becomes alive.
Yes.
And you can understand what God is trying to tell you.
Yes. And what about that pipeline, if you will, between God and you as far as hearing his voice?
Well, since I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, if I have a decision to make and I can feel God pushing me in one direction or the other, not really pushing, but guiding me, you
okay,
know, saying, you know, my prayer life has increased
right,
immensely.
Yes.
Because I'm seeing prayers answered.
Right.
You know, and I really believe that, you know, sometimes God will answer prayers just to show you that he can, to increase your faith.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, and as you pray and as you get into God's word, that communication is there when you're filled with Holy Spirit. You actually feel like somebody is there that is listening to you and
Amen,
helping you.
Yes.
You know, the Bible tells us that God's our helper, but I didn't feel that until I was filled with Holy Spirit.
Well, and that's another one. You've mentioned helper. You've mentioned guidance. You've mentioned the word coming alive. And all of this is what happens when we allow God to fill us up with his Holy Spirit. This is what happens. I mean, and that rivers of life that we've been talking about at the beginning of this show, guys, can't you just relate to that? Can you just see Jesus standing there in the temple going, hey, I'm about to bring you this wonderful gift. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's going to be like a river of life flowing out of you. You know what I'm saying? Deb, talk to me about that river of life.
Well, it is a river of life because you get... I got this energy. I felt this energy that I had never felt before. And it's not like, you know, energy that, you know, to make me want to work out or anything like that. It's a positive energy. It's a calming energy. It's knowing that truly knowing that you've got somebody there beside you. And it's, you know, it's not to say that, you know, Alice said earlier, she went down for prayer to receive the Holy Ghost. And you know, you don't have to be in a church and go down there and ask for prayer to receive the Holy Ghost. You can do it right there in your own house.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Connie, you talked about the time frame.
Yeah.
If I had told you after I was saved that, you know, back then I would have thought, okay, so now I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I did feel like that. If I think back on it now, I did feel like that. But you know what? The year and a half, 2 years before I actually received the Holy Ghost, it's like Alice said, I wasn't ready before then.
And you didn't even see your need, you know?
That's right. I was ready for it. I was open to it.
Right.
You know, and the way it happened was such an unusual way because I found myself in a church service unlike I'd ever been in before in my life, because I was raised in the Methodist Church and we didn't, you know, speak in tongues and raise our hands to sing and dance in the aisles and whatever. And I was in that kind of a service. And when we got into that service, Alice looked at me and kind of gave me this look like, are you okay? And I was okay. And, you know, when this pastor walked out into the congregation, I did not go up for prayer. He came to me. And he laid his hands on me.
Uh-oh.
And I was shaking uncontrollably. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, they say fall out in the spirit. I've seen that. And Alice has heard me say prior to that, oh, I'm not ever going to do that. Well, you know what? I had no choice.
You were gone down on the floor. Yeah.
Spirit, down on the floor I went.
Carpet time.
But, you know, my whole life, I wanted to know more about God and I wanted to know more about Jesus prior to that.
Amen. Yeah.
Once I had that Holy Ghost, never thought of it before until Alice said it now, it came alive in me.
Woo.
And the hunger that I had was different, and it hasn't gone away. It's just gotten greater and greater.
Hunger and thirst. All right. Hang on, guys. Don't go anywhere. Alice, tell us about the prayer ministry before we go to station ID. You are the head of the prayer ministry for Beacon of Hope, and you are in Houston, Texas. And some people may say, I thought Beacon of Hope was in Clearwater, Florida. Yes, it is. But Alice is in Houston, Texas.
That's right, I am. And the great thing about our prayer ministry is that anyone can be a part of it.
Amen.
And anyone can send in prayer requests and praise reports. If you send them into prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
And about four or five of us will actually get those emails when they come in.
Right.
And whoever, you know, has time at the moment is the one that will send out the prayer request.
Yeah.
And you know, most of us include on there a prayer so that, you know, people at work getting these emails, they can immediately read that prayer and be in agreement with that prayer.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty awesome to see, you know, the prayer request coming in and then sometimes minutes, sometimes days later, we get praise reports on that.
Oh, my gosh.
And seeing work.
Alice.
This week.
Oh, this week, Deb and Alice. I mean, did you see all the prayer requests flying? It was like sometimes it was every few minutes another one was coming in. It was that crazy this week. It was absolutely, they were just flying. But you know what? I'm here to tell you that we've seen the answers to a lot of those already.
Mm-hmm.
So, woo, we're going to talk more about that. Let's go to station ID. Girls, stay with us, all right?
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Welcome, Arkansas and Mississippi. We're glad that there are some of you live listeners out there. We know you're out there. We've heard from some. We just want you to know that God is moving in Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry. Yes, we're located in Clearwater, Florida. And yes, we're moving into a new facility here, but we are global. Our website is global, and it's www. What is it, Connie?
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com.
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And we always say IES on the end of it because sometimes people don't find it because they think it's ministry singular. It's ministries plural on purpose because we got a lot of different things going on. Deb and Alice, more about the prayer team. If somebody wants to be on the prayer team, Alice, what do they do?
Send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and we'll get you on the list.
All right. So anybody can be a part of that prayer team, right? They'll get
That's
the requests, correct?
That's right.
Is there any prayer request that's too big or too small?
Not for my God.
Okay. All right. So
good answer.
It doesn't matter, right?
That's right. Anything. I mean, you know, whatever it is.
Amen.
I mean, we've seen
prayers for healing, for finances, for relationship issues, for jobs, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. Connie had a comment here.
I was just going to say, if it's bothering us, God, and it's keeping us from what we're supposed to be doing, God wants to hear it.
Exactly. In fact,
doesn't matter.
You know, we were praying for Connie this week because she lost her little cat, Pris, 16 years old. It was a rough week there. And, you know, we've had Deb and Alice, you lost a cat recently, Josie, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and there's so many that have lost animals recently, and God cares about the pain of that. He really does care about that, you know?
And, you know, when we lost Jonesy, we said we weren't going to get another cat to replace her.
Yeah.
And then we moved into our new house.
Right.
And Jonesy sent us a new cat.
Ah, somebody showed up at the door?
Somebody showed up at the door.
What's this person's name?
His name is Moses because he's the wanderer.
He's the wanderer, Moses. All right.
But he doesn't wander very far. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny. I bring up my dad again. My dad doesn't normally think in these ways. And when I told my dad about this cat, without me saying anything about Jonesy, he said, did Jonesy send him?
Interesting. So, all right. So there's no request that's too big for God. That's right. The point, right?
Right.
So anybody can send things in. Alice, when we see the praise reports, what do we feel down on the inside? What do you feel when you hear it? Or Connie, Deb, any of you want to answer this? Alice, I ask you first, so I'll let you comment.
There's a combination of feelings. I feel joy when I see prayer requests being answered. And sometimes, even though I have seen God do so much, sometimes I'm just completely amazed at the power of God, you know? And it's like, he just continually amazes me.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you what this prayer group and this prayer team has done for me.
Yes, tell us.
Well, you know, you cross somebody at the grocery store, you see somebody at the grocery store or, you know, out somewhere at work and, you know, they casually tell you, you know, my husband lost their job or, you know, my daughter's sick or something. And most good Christians will say, well, I'll pray for you.
Right.
Now, how many people actually stop and pray for that person?
That's such a good point.
At night when they're saying their prayers or in their morning, whenever they do their prayer stuff.
Right.
What this prayer ministry has done for me because of the way we do it. We get in a prayer request and we don't just forward, you know, my husband, so-and-so's husband lost their job. Please pray for them. We actually put a prayer in that email.
Amen.
We can pray at that moment. That has made me now, whenever I see somebody, talk to somebody that needs prayer, that's made me, when I say, I'll pray for you, sometimes I will actually grab their hands and say, let's pray about it now, which I've never done before until I got on this prayer team.
Right.
Or as I walk off from the conversation, I will say a prayer for that person right then and there. And being on this prayer team has taught me that.
Amen. Woo! We want others out there in Radio Land to join the Beacon of Hope prayer team. Doesn't mean that there's no financial obligation unless you just want to give to the ministry.
And you won't have to go to Africa.
And you won't have to go to Africa necessarily. but we really want more people on the prayer team. It's amazing how many are on there, and they're scattered everywhere. And so we want you to send us an email, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and direct it to Alice, and she will make sure that you are part of the prayer team. We are glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We got a whole lot more to talk about and some great music coming up about the Holy Spirit. Listen to Terry McCallum, one of our favorites, and Deb and Alice will get you back on here in a few minutes. One of our favorites, Spirit of the Lord. This is just a powerful song, isn't it, Connie? Mm-hmm. I love it. Let's hear it.
Jesus, bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. let's open our hearts as we sing together.
Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Tired of that. We were singing that this morning at Beacon of Hope. Yep. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me. Wow. All right. Acts chapter 1. And Alice, we just want to make a note that you've got the computer right there in front of you. And if people send any requests right now, we can handle them right this moment, can't we?
Yep.
Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Did they get off the line for a minute?
No, we're here.
You're there? All right. Okay, guys, go with us to Acts chapter 1, because this is the scene where Jesus is getting ready to go back up into heaven. After the resurrection, he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord, and he walked around for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he presented himself to his disciples in, it says here in the Message Bible, in many face-to-face meetings. He came through the walls, and he'd start talking to them and interrupt their, you know, their dinner or whatever. And in face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. And then they were eating meals together even. And then he says to them in Acts chapter 1 about verse 5, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Don't go on vacation. Don't go anywhere. Stay put, because I'm about to send you a gift. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me, wait a minute, I'm sending you a gift, a FedEx, you know, or whatever, I want to stick around all day to get it. You know, I don't want them taking it back. Just recently, the FedEx guy pulled up in front of my place, and I thought it was for me, and guess what? It wasn't. And he said, you know what? Is your neighbor home? I said, no. And he said, well, this is a new laptop for her. And he said, I don't think I better leave it at the door. And I said, okay, no problem. I'll take it. Well, I left her a note, you know. Well, of course, I didn't mean I would take it and steal it. But I left her a note on the door saying I had her laptop. Well, she was out of town, unbeknownst to me. But she wasn't even around to take her to receive her laptop, Connie.
That's not good.
And like 3 days later, I get a knock on my door. And I've got this laptop, brand new, sitting on my piano bench. And she goes, hi, I've been out of town. Do you have my laptop? And I go, yeah.
Sold it.
Yeah, sold it. And yeah, it's working fine. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you've ordered a new laptop. You go out of town. Wow, you're not here to receive it. And here's the point of this. Nothing against that. It worked out fine. She got her laptop and everything's cool. But Jesus said, don't leave town. Don't go anywhere. I'm sending you a gift. And it's coming better than FedEx. It's going to come and it's going to hit you like nobody's business. And he says, you wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. Jesus even declares it himself right before he leaves to go up into heaven. And in fact, it says in the Message Bible that in verse 9, these were his last words. And let's look at verse 7 and 8. Connie, in the NIV, let's read 7 and 8. Jesus said to them.
He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
And these were his last words. And as they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky, and suddenly two men appeared. Suddenly. Go ahead, finish that down to verse 11, Connie. Suddenly two men appeared.
Two men appeared in white robes. They said, you Galileans, why do you just stand here and look up into an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left.
Woo! I think it's really cool that Jesus' last words were about the Holy Spirit that was going to come. And he said, stick around, wait, don't go anywhere, hang in there, baby. You know, take your vacation at a later time, even if you already asked for time off or whatever it is. You need to hang out. And what they did was they hung out together for 10 days. That's a long time. From the day of the ascension into heaven until the day of Pentecost was 10 days, from day 40 to day 50. They hung out together. And what were they doing? In verse 14 of John of Acts 1, Connie, what's verse 14 say of Acts 1?
Let's see. 14.
See it? Verse 14.
Yes, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Wow. They stayed together and hung out in prayer. And they began to just be expecting. I wrote that word on the board this morning, expecting. They didn't say, oh, this can't be. And now, I think it's very interesting that the word that Jesus says in the original Greek about the Holy Spirit up in Acts 1:5, he says, the promise you heard is this, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says, it's the power that's going to come on you. It's the power. The word power in the original Greek is dynamite. It's actually dunamis in the original Greek, and it means dynamite, like a keg of dynamite. And Jesus said, hang out, wait, stay put, don't go anywhere, don't leave on the vacation, stay put, because you're going to get hit with power. Oh, my. Deb, what kind of power are we talking about here? What's he talking about?
Well, in the scripture, it talks about, you know, the wind, the wind that blew. You know, it can come in like a lion. It can come in like a lamb. But when you receive it, you feel God's power.
Woo.
You feel the energy.
Right.
And like I said earlier, it just totally energizes you deep down to your core.
Right. Changes you completely, right?
Exactly.
And all it is a saying, God, I want all you have for me. You know, I want you to fill me up. And then God begins to do things in us that we are just like, whoa, wow. You know, I mean, Alice, you were alluding to some of those things. But don't you find it interesting? I'm going to pick on you, Alice. Don't you find it interesting that these people, these disciples, believed, and there was 120 of them. It's hard to get five people to be in agreement on things sometimes. To get 120 to hang together for 10 full days. Do you have a comment on that, Alice? And why did they do it?
Well, I think that you know, they had spent so much time with Jesus.
Right.
And they had heard Jesus speak.
Yes.
And they knew that when he said something will happen,
right,
that it will happen. and it says in the Bible, it says that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. If God tells me you will or this will happen, you know what? I'm going to stick around and wait for it to happen.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I know God, and I know that he's true to his word. And these people had been hanging around with Jesus, you know, having meals with him, sleeping with him, you know, going through their daily life, listening to him speak. They knew him. So they knew he was good for his word.
Absolutely. That is perfect. In fact, guys, Wednesday night I was teaching on the promises of God, and I said three things, and those of you listening out there can write them down. All through the scripture, God tells you he's going to do something. That's point number one. And we know that God told us back in the book of Joel and Isaiah and other places that he was going to send his Holy Spirit, and it would descend on people. And it actually says in Joel 2:28 that he said, I will pour out my spirit. Let's go there a minute, because this is important to what you just said here, Alice. And in Joel chapter 2. In verse 28, this is the prophecy where God says, here's what's going to happen. And Alice, you just made this point. God tells us in advance what's going to happen, right? And
right.
Then, how cool, step two, God does what he said he was going to do. And then step three is God comes in and he says, told you so. I told you I was going to do it. Then I did it. And now I'm telling you, I did it. I told you. Step one, God tells you he's going to do it. Step two, he does it. Step three, he tells you he did it. All right, so Joel chapter 2. Connie, can you start reading from 28? Why don't you read it? It doesn't matter which translation. Maybe just read it in...
Message.
Message is fine.
I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my spirit on the servants, men and women both. I'll set sights in the sky above and signs on the earth below,
mm-hmm.
blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red.
That hasn't happened yet. That's coming at the book of Revelation. Go on.
Before the judgment day of God, the day tremendous and awesome, whoever calls, help God, gets help. On Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there will be a great rescue, just as God said, included in the survivors are those that God calls.
Ooh. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The survivors.
Survivors.
All right. Here it is right here. Prophesied. God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my spirit. In fact, in one translation in the King James, and I think also in the New American Standard, it says, this is that I told you about. This is that. And it's so interesting here. Here we see God saying, all right, I'm going to do this. There's going to come a time where I'm going to pour out my spirit. You're not going to have just a little bit of it if you're a prophet, like in the Old Testament. You're not going to have a special anointing for something incredible, like with Gideon, where he had that anointing, he had his eyes punched out, and you know, God strengthened him for that event, and he pulled the walls of the temple down and all of that. That was a supernatural coming upon him with power. Okay. And here God is saying, you know what? Everybody can get in on it. Woo! Deb, I want you to talk to me about everybody.
Well, you know, as Connie said earlier, the Bible says whosoever.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you're black, white, green, yellow.
Yes.
Stripe.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, we can't forget the stripe, folks. Yes. Yes.
You know, God's word says it's for everybody. And, you know, that literally means me, you, the guy next door, your plumber, your electrician, whoever. You know, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, Jesus will be there for you. If you ask the Holy Ghost to fill your life, he will do that.
Amen.
And, you know, I was reading earlier about Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I had forgotten that, you know, John the Baptist said, you know, I baptize you with water, but, you know, he will baptize you with fire.
Right.
And then it dawned on me that, you know, fire is a cleansing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, you know, how does it feel when you receive the Holy Ghost and what changes in your life? You know, when I received the Holy Ghost, things that used to be important to me weren't important anymore.
Interesting.
I used to not think about the way I talk to people or the words that I use. They became important to me. I would notice things that I haven't noticed before. And, you know, when Moses went on the mountain, you know, what did he see? He saw a burning bush.
That's true.
Because, and when he came down from that, his hair was all white.
Yeah.
You know, because he was cleansed. He was purified.
Praise God.
You know, it wasn't an automatic where, you know, I was in the Army and I used to cuss like a sailor, and it wasn't an automatic thing. But
you can't cuss like a sailor if you're in the Army. That's Navy. But go ahead.
Cuss like a soldier.
Soldier.
Okay, fine. I was in the military and I had a little bad mouth.
All right. Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't an overnight thing. But before, I wouldn't think about throwing those words out.
Right.
And after receiving the Holy Ghost, it would come out of my mouth and it was automatically like somebody was tapping me on the shoulder going, did you really mean to say that?
Right.
You know?
And, it's a cleansing, a deep, deep, deep cleansing, is it not?
It very much so.
Yes.
And it's for anybody. Anybody who wants it can have it.
And
anybody.
Absolutely. And you have the power to conquer things. Alice, do you have... You know, we don't plan what we're going to say on the shows, obviously. And so, you know, I don't know what Alice is going to respond here. But Alice, do you have a response to that? Did you find after being baptized in the Holy Spirit that you had power to conquer things in your life that you didn't before, perhaps?
You know, I did. And it really didn't come to my mind until you mentioned it.
Okay.
Because I have tended to live my life in fear.
Aha. You and about most other people.
You know, I'll be afraid that, you know, if I do something wrong, this person's not going to like me, or I'm going to say the wrong thing, or I'm going to dress the wrong way or something. And, I tend to be fairly introverted and not outgoing around people that I don't know. But I have found that the Holy Spirit has given me a sense of... taken away that fear so much. I mean, it's still there. I still get it. But, you know, I've got God's word so deep in my heart that as soon as I feel that fear, immediately what comes to my mind is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And Alice, I've got to say that without even knowing, here's what you did. You just taught Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. A boldness comes on you, and we see that all through the book of Acts. I've been teaching the book of Acts now for several weeks, haven't I, Connie? Yeah. I mean, we are just making some incredible services in the book of Acts. And you see a boldness on these disciples that before had been very timid and shy. And these guys come alive and begin to really share the word. Thank you for sharing that, Alice. Now, here's what's going on. Our next song in just a second is The Potter's Hand. And this is an incredible song. And I got to thank you, Connie, because you are always right on with your music here for the show. Connie's our musical director for the show. And I know you just wait on God for what's... I give you a theme of where we're headed, and that's all. And you just take it from there. And The Potter's Hand goes along with what Alice just said. Mm-hmm. Does it not?
Yeah.
You know how God, the potter, you know.
Takes us and takes,
yes,
molds us.
Molds us, you
Jesus.
Know. Oh, my. That's in Jeremiah. I think it's 19 or 23. I'll look it up. But the potter's hand, he, the Holy Spirit, is the potter. And Alice, that goes along with what you were just saying. He changes us. And
with the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Woo. Listen to the song then. Deb and Alice, stay with us. We're going to have more great chat. We're having church in the studio today, Connie and I, and even Bill in there is getting a little touched by it all. Deb and Alice, is that an incredible song?
That is such an incredible song. And, you know, as you were talking about the song that we were going to play, I know earlier we had talked about, you know, is the Holy Spirit for everybody or
yes.
is it not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, it brought to mind that, you know, when you talk about a potter making pots, or, you know, molding clay, a potter doesn't always make just the same type of pot all the time.
Good point.
He will make something to carry water, something mm-hmm. to hold grain, something to put, to use as decoration, you know, some whatever. But the potter doesn't always make the exact same type of thing. So, you know, we have to remember that, you know, God as our potter, God as molding and creating and making each individual person, that everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to have, you know, different things that they're good at or different things that, that they're made for. And one of the awesome things that the Holy Spirit can do is help you realize what it is God has made you to do.
That is so good. Oh, that's exactly right. So you're saying that the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and you begin to hear his voice clearer. You begin to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then doors begin to open, do they not?
They do. They definitely do.
You know, and I was talking this morning about when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I know you two and Connie have heard this story several times, but I won't go into detail except to say, growing up as a minister's kid and a missionary's kid and all that, evangelist kid, I never heard about the Holy Spirit and did not know about baptism in the Holy Spirit. But in my late 20s, I was miserable with a lot of stuff going on, and I was began to really seek God with all my heart. And in the seeking of God and reading my New Testament over and over again, I read the book of Acts. And as I began to read the book of Acts, I realized, wait a minute, why don't I have this power? I don't have this. I get defeated by this and this and this and this. I can't say that I have that intimate relationship with God. I just don't. And I began to seek God. And then, of course, the door opened at service like the next Sunday. And I was in the last row of the whole church with my sister and her husband and kids. And I almost ran in my little high heels, believe it or not, guys. I know it's hard for you to picture that. But I almost ran to the front of the church with tears rolling down my face. I wanted all God had for me. And if it meant being baptized in the Holy Spirit and having a prayer language, speaking in tongues, then so be it. I wanted all God had for me. And that's what we got to get to, guys. That's it in a nutshell. Connie, I want you to comment on what does the Holy Spirit do with you on a daily basis? I mean, you want to relate to this, and then I'm going to get to you two back there here in Houston in just a second. Go ahead.
Well, I think that the Holy Spirit guides, works with my conscience.
Yes, yes.
To make sure that, you know, if I say things that are not
right, that's a good point.
Nice, or you know, or so, you know, something that
Connie
that
don't helps say them. Things that aren't nice.
I try not to.
But, right.
You know. It kind of keeps me in check.
Yes.
And, but yet also, you know, I feel like there are times where through the Holy Spirit or just God speaking to me, you know, you if you have a decision to make, it just comes to you.
Yes. It's God's voice.
The peace.
Yes.
The peace. It's the peace.
Yes.
You don't, sometimes you hear it, sometimes you feel it, the answer, but the peace you can't deny.
Oh, you can't deny it. And that's it. You know, he's our helper. I'm going to teach in real detail Wednesday night at Bible study about the function of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. what he does in our lives. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we encourage you to come to our temporary location, out at the Executive Inn, because we'll be moving in 2 weeks. But Deb and Alice, answer that same question, will you? What does the Holy Spirit do in a practical way? We've been kind of talking about it all along, but you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, I was thinking earlier, you know, we get, as we're growing up in our life, you know, we go to school, we get out of high school. Some of us choose to go to college and further our education, and some of us don't. But at some point in our lives, we all get to a point where we say, okay, is this all there is? You know, you get up every
good
morning.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Clean house, you know, and I don't find myself as much anymore asking, is this all there is? Because since I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, truly accepted Jesus as my Savior.
Right.
And been saved and received the Holy Ghost, there's so many opportunities that come before me now.
And go ahead.
I noticed, the other day I was online at lunch playing games on Pogo.
Okay.
And I was in a game room playing backgammon, And this lady started talking to me, and, you know, it was an opportunity to minister to this lady. And here I am in Houston, and she's all the way up in Connecticut. And one of the things that this lady said to me was, because on my profile it says, you know, that I'm happily married, and I have this many kids and this many grandkids. And, you know, she basically said, you know, I wish I had that in my life. And I had no idea how old this lady was because her profile was private. And, you know, basically the whole conversation was, you know, well, is that all there is in life for me? Because she hadn't found, you know, the love of her life that she wanted. And I told her, you know, and this kind of goes with what Alice was saying earlier about the different kind of pots. You know, God makes us to be certain things in our life. And he, in, you know, if we accept him and open our lives up to him, he will mold us and show us that direction.
Amen.
One of the things I said to this lady was, you know, once I found out that she was 60 years old.
Hey, you know, hey, watch that. That's not bad.
Well, I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
I said, that's not old. God makes some of us to be, you know, to be helpers.
Right.
And God makes some of us to be a helpmate to someone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, we cannot, not all of us are made to have a helpmate in our life, you know, and some of us are made to just be helpers.
Right.
And, you know, that I'm sure she had other people in her life that loved her and respected her and that she had helped. And, you know, that right there just goes along with, you know, what Alice was saying about the different kinds of pots that, you know, God molds us into. And for me, you know, I don't, like I said before, I don't say very much anymore, is this all there is? Because there's so much more. If you're in your career and you're stuck in a rut, you can either stay stuck in that rut, or what do? You look, going back to school and furthering, you know, getting more education
right.
to further yourself.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing. Pick up the Bible, read God's word.
Amen.
Invite the Holy Spirit into your life and see what else is out there.
Exactly. Find it. Search it. That's what happened to me as I started reading the whole New Testament. It actually was in the Living Letters translation that turned me on to the word again. And reading the book of Acts and realizing there was more. That is so good. What you're saying is that what the Holy Spirit has done here was given you a chance to witness, Deb. I mean, and Jesus said in Acts 1, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witnesses. Alice, do you want to comment on that too?
Yeah, because, you know, God creates opportunities for us where we would not expect them.
Right.
I wouldn't say where you least expect, but I mean, you know, last Sunday we were at church, and, you know, there's a young man that goes to church with us, and, you know, he's from what I can tell, he's well grounded in the word. He loves God. He has a hunger for God and all that. And after the service, he sought Deb and I out and says, you know, I've got such and such going on in my life. Will you guys remember to pray about that? And this is completely out of character for me, for those that know me. I said, yeah, let's pray now. And I grabbed his hand.
Wow.
And they held hands, and we bowed our heads, and standing right there on the sidewalk, we prayed.
All right.
You know, and that's an opportunity that God gave me that I really feel that if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life, if I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, that this person may not have sought us out for prayer.
Exactly.
And I know I wouldn't have had the boldness to say, let's pray now.
You know, that is right on. And you know that when we become filled with the Holy Spirit like this, and Jesus said, now you'll be my witnesses, and that's what you're both talking about, okay? And that's what Connie's talking about. What happens is our priorities begin to change, and things that we used to just think we had to have this going on in our life or whatever, we find we want to have time with God. And I've got to tell you all, and I'm going to tell the world right now, what happened to me Friday night.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I think I already told you. My youngest son is a graduate of Notre Dame Law School and an attorney, and he decided a few years ago that he was called to teach law.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to California and became a law professor, and now is a law professor in Jacksonville right here. And he came home for the weekend, and he brought his little dog, Callie, and we were having a real good time. And Friday night, I said, son, would you like to take your mother out to dinner? And he said, I would. That is exactly what I would like to do. And I said, fantastic, because that would be wonderful. So we went to a local seafood place we like to go to here, and we had a great wonderful conversation. And then he said, we got in the car, and it was only like 6:30. It wasn't very dark yet, or 7 o'clock. And it was not dark at all. I mean, the sun was still up, you know, because it's Florida. And he said, can we take a ride? And I said, let's take a ride. So he's got a new wonderful VW. And so we took a ride. And, of course, he ended up at our favorite place, which is the Causeway. And Deb and Alice, last time you were here, I still have wonderful pictures of you out there fishing with me on the Causeway. So Mark and I pulled up, and he chose a very nice spot so we could see the sun going down. And then he said, Mom, I have something to share with you. I made you this CD, and I want to share this with you. Connie, we got to get a hold of this guy. His name is Jason Upton.
Okay.
And it's a new style. It's a Michael W. Smith style, you know, where you just are led into worship. Mm-hmm. Mark and I, my son and I, sat there and worshiped God together and watched the sun going down and the fish jumping in the in the water right there. We did that for over 2 hours.
Wow.
We didn't talk about other things. We just talked about God, and we worshiped God together. Now, Deb and Alice, don't you think that's what the Holy Spirit... And Mark grew up. He was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was 6. He grew up in it and hearing his mommy preach and sitting on the front row. I made him sit on the front row because I couldn't trust where he'd go and what he'd do at church, so I had to watch him. But anyway, Deb and Alice, can you picture that scene that I went through Friday night with my son? And how unusual is a scene like that for a mother and a son?
In this day and age?
I would say it's very unusual.
They're speechless. What do I say?
But
my point, guys, is this. Holy Spirit, we wanted to spend time. And he said, Mom, do you know about soaking? Now, soaking is a new term for spending time worshiping like this. And it's just like soaking up the presence of God. I said, yeah, I know about soaking. And this is what was going on. Alice, it seems to me that when we get filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, some of our priorities change. And it is the funnest thing in the world to sit and worship God for 2 hours.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
A more enjoyable way of spending 2 hours.
Woo! I know.
I just know that, you know, when I'm in the presence of God, when His Holy Spirit is just all around me and enveloping me, it's like you're getting a big hug from God.
You know? That's good, yeah.
It feels good. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't have the words for it.
Exactly. Feels good. Deb, do you have a comment on that? What happens when we worship God? I'm going to come to you next on that.
I look forward to the corporate worship of a church service.
Yes, right.
Sharing, you know, praising God together with a group of people, and sharing prayer with a group of people, because it's being by myself with God and talking to God is one thing, but being able to share it with others and just feel what they're feeling,
right,
and feel, watch the Holy Spirit move through a congregation.
Woo.
You know, watch the reactions. It just increases, you know, what's going on inside of me.
Amen.
And, you know, it's hard to make it through my week if I don't have that corporate worship
right.
with people.
We need it.
You know? And it's energizing, and it's sets my week, you know, on a good path.
Amen. Good reason to come to church, right? Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen you guys at church for a while, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, Connie, what happens when you worship?
Troubles vanish. Ooh. Hearts are mended.
Oh, in the presence of Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is great. In the presence of Jehovah, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King. Isn't that, we sing that song.
Song.
I would have sang it, but I didn't.
In the presence of Jehovah. All right, we're going to come back and sing inside. All right, we're going to come back and talk more about this. Don't leave us, because we've still got 15 minutes we want to share with you. And Deb and Alice, hang with us. We're going to go to one of my favorite songs by Debbie Selby. It is, isn't it? It's one of my favorite songs, River of My Life.
Thank you.
deliverer and king. In you every truth will be revealed, and I depend on you. I will never walk alone. You're my peace, my bread of life, the keeper.
Is found in you, God, my creator, my Lord and Savior, lover of my soul, river of my life. I love that song. I just told Connie, because she does, puts all these music things on a CD for us, and then I get to keep it after the show. And I just told her I'm going to be playing this one quite a while. We have something new, Devin Allison. I think you know about it, but Bill in there, our beautiful little engineer with the new haircut, he gets us this show within a few minutes after the show, sends it by email to me. I am able to send it to our webmaster in Georgia, Maxine, and just like with a little flip of a mouse, you know, and there like that. Yeah. And it's gone. And so we will have this show and all of our shows are on our website. If you like these songs, if you want to hear this teaching again, or if you missed a show a few weeks back, you can go to our website. Every show we've done this year in 2010 is on our website. This one will be on tomorrow. And so if you like some songs, you can go to our website. They are there. Don't you think that's a cool thing? BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. All right. So Alice and Deb and Connie. Connie, I'm just going to start with you here. Don't you think that God is moving mightily in people right now and that changes are happening? Do you see this like I see this?
Yes, I see that, you know, Sam came home from school and we were talking and they were told by their priest to be reading Acts this month. So everybody, I think everybody, the whole world is on the same page as far as.
Amen. They are.
Yeah.
They are. This is happening. People are seeking God. We just got an email from one of our people, Kim, and she's talking about soaking and spending time. And she said she's got some of that Jason Upton music, which is really cool. And yes, we are going to set
soaking music.
Yeah. We got to set a time aside to worship. And even if it's on a Friday night where we spend a few hours and we don't care what time it is, like my battery didn't work in my watch this morning, which is a great thing. And we have got to spend this time because it's when we worship that God moves in our lives. And Kim, thank you for writing that. I am in total agreement. And this is one reason we believed God for a new facility to move out of the hotel. And God has done a mighty miracle. We'll tell you more about that next week. I don't want to go into it right now. But Deb and Alice, I want your comments on soaking, on staying in the presence of God in worship and praise and what it does to you. Deb, you're up first.
Well, this morning on the way to church, I was telling Alice, you know, when God moved us from Florida back to Houston, we didn't understand why. And we've been back for exactly a year now.
Yeah.
And when we first got back, we were missing Beacon so much and all of you guys. And we were basically kind of sitting around and pouting about it.
Are you saying you don't miss us now?
I can't imagine you pouting.
are you saying you don't miss us?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
We do miss you guys.
Okay,
and
go on.
You know, the thing that I told her this morning is that it took a... We went to church every once in a while in the first couple of months we were back, but we couldn't find a church that we were happy with. And you know, it took us until really probably January of this year before we really started concentrating on finding a church.
Right.
And our life seemed to have stagnated.
Right. You got to have the word. You got to have worship. You got to have it.
Fellowship.
And we were just, we were getting up and we were going to work and we were coming home and paying bills and just kind of just being.
Right.
You know? And I found it very interesting that once we decided to get up off our pity pot and find some place to go,
glory.
Action.
Once we found that, God started moving again. And, you know, the one thing I said to Alice is, you know, I told her this morning, I said, I don't know how biblical this is. I said, but God helps those that help themselves. And, you know, God is not going to move in your life if you're not ready for him. God is not going to move in your life and show you what you need to see if you're not open to it.
Amen.
And, you know, as many times, and I've been through this before and I should know better, and I guess it's a lesson I haven't learned, but as many times as I've seen things not move, and then all of a sudden I start going to church and concentrating on my prayer life and God's word, things start to happen. Doors start to open. And, you know, it's just amazing.
Amen.
How that happens.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, Deb, is we've got to spend time. We've got to spend time for the Holy Spirit to work in us. We've got to take our spiritual lives very seriously. Get with it and start worshiping God and having these times of prayer and these prayer meetings that we're going to have even more at Beacon in the near future as soon as we have a place to lay down on that floor before God carpet and worship Him. Absolutely. It means we got to have carpet, Con. I guess mm-hmm. we got to believe God for carpet.
Cement works,
Ooh,
too.
Cement does.
Cement.
All yeah. right. Alice, I want your final thoughts. Those were great, Deb. Thanks for sharing.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us that God is our friend. And I know I've said this before, but in order to foster a friendship, you have to have communication.
Amen.
And you know, if you have a friend that, you know, you never talk to, you never pick up the phone and call them, they never pick up the phone and call you, you know, yeah, you're still friends, but how good of friends are you? Do you really know what's going on in their life? If they say, pray for me, will you know what to pray for? And it's the same way with God. You know, you have to develop, you have to grow that friendship, because God is our friend. But if we don't spend time in his word, if we don't spend time in prayer, if we don't spend time in worship, then how do we know what God's plan is for us?
Amen.
How do we
Amen.
Know that if we make a decision, that that's the decision that God wants us to make?
Exactly. And that
so
takes time.
It does. It takes time and it takes effort, just like any relationship does.
Amen.
You know, you have to be willing to make the sacrifice and set the priorities in your life and spend that time with God, whether it's one-on-one with you in your Bible or you in prayer, or if it's in a corporate setting where you're praying with other people or you're worshiping with other people. You need to develop that relationship with God.
Very well said. You guys are a blessing. Connie, you wanted to run and respond to that?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that comfort in knowing somebody and how you can, you pretty much are on the same wavelength. And you know when things are going right and you know when things aren't. And so when you make a decision that you think God told you to do, but it doesn't feel right, then you need to get back into it and talk some more.
Amen.
And rethink that decision.
Rethink that decision. Amen. It's all about the Holy Spirit, God moving in our lives. And we are excited about what God is doing in individuals' lives and what God is doing corporately with Beacon of Hope. And as it's spreading around to other people and friends and neighbors and so forth. Deb and Alice, I want to bid you adieu and tell you we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being on Living the Good Life today. You're a part of the radio team. We always enjoy having you on. Thanks, guys. And we will let you go so I can finish the show, okay?
Thanks, Pastor. We love you.
All right. We love you, too.
Bye, girls.
All right, Con. We've got a lot done today, you know, yeah. In the Spirit. We've talked a lot about the moving of the Holy Spirit, and I'm serious. I've got it just welling up in me what I'm going to teach on Wednesday night about the what the Holy Spirit does. We're going to, and one thing I love about our radio show is we can talk about nitty-gritty like this, mm-hmm. how it feels to you, mm-hmm. how what you have experienced. And that's what I love about having the radio ministry.
Well, and I don't, it's, it was a long time ago. I read something on one of the church, you know, outside the church, how they put little sayings.
Yes, on the...
And it said one time something about the best sermon you ever see is somebody's talk, you know, their life.
Right.
When you talk about what's happened to you, there is sometimes a barrier to what pastors or preachers teach.
Absolutely.
And what people hear and take
right.
in
there
and
is.
What they want to hear.
Right.
But when somebody sits and talks to them about what actually happens in their lives on a daily basis or specific situations or you know, I honestly believe that a lot of things happen in my life so that I am capable of talking it through with somebody
sharing
else.
Sharing with somebody else.
Because almost... It's almost not instantaneous, but it's soon after something happens that somebody else says, la, 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 la.
And the door is open and you can share why. Yes.
Yeah.
Connie, you're a blessing to me. You've been with me since 2003. What a blessing you are. We've been through a whole lot together, haven't we?
Yep.
But God has moved mightily. Thanks for being on today, Deb and Alice. Mm-hmm. Thanks. It's just been a great time. And we want you to know that you can invest in this ministry. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You'll see a PayPal thing there. People give from other states. We want you to help support this ministry. We love doing this radio show. You just heard why we love it. And we can't wait to get on the air every week. It's so wonderful to be able to share God with you. And today's been all about the Holy Spirit. And we're not done with this topic, so we're glad you've joined us. And call a friend and tell them all about Living the Good Life. And tell them they can tune in at 1340, Tantalk1340.com, any place in the globe. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. Go to our website. You'll find the location, beaconofhopeministries.com. We'd love for you to be a partner with us. Go to our website. It tells you all about it and how to be a partner. And so God bless you. You have a wonderful week. We always stop the show or end the show with this song, It's Not Far to Jesus. And I love this song. I love this song. I love this song because guess what, dear friend? It is not far to Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer, Deb and Alice. See ya next week. Far.